This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello, my name is Giles Brandreth. Susie Dent, what's your name?
It's E.T.'s Undies. That's a good anagram of my name.
What is your full name?
It is Francesca is my middle name.
Ah, but so I don't really Susan Francesca Dent.
Yes.
Your parents were Dents.
Yes.
My name is Giles, wait for it, Daubeny Brandreth.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, I don't know. It's not a good name. But let me explain in case somebody's coming into this podcast for the very first time. I love words. That's really why I'm here. I love words. I love language. I believe that language is power. I've been a word obsessive, virtually a wordaholic all my life. And for a reason I'm going to explain in a second. But Susie has authority because she is trained in the world of words. Aren't you? What is your qualification to be a word person?
Well, I'm not sure I am totally qualified. It's just experience rather than qualification. So I studied French and German at university. So German and French, they were my first loves. Came to English quite late, worked at Oxford University Press for a long time, even while I was doing Countdown, and worked on the English dictionaries. But I wouldn't say I've, you know, got millions of qualifications. I just have been immersed in language since the age of four.
Well, what I thought would be fun to do today's podcast is have fun with words, because this is all about words, language, how to increase your word power, how to use this amazing way we have of communicating with one another, words, in a better, more exciting, more amusing way. We call it something rhymes with purple because something does rhyme with purple. And I used to think that nothing rhymed with purple. I thought that purple was a word like orange, for which there is no rhyme, is there?
Not exactly. I remember talking to Tim Rice, the lyricist, about this, and he had a few up his sleeve, but nothing perfectly rhymes with orange.
Oh, I love playing games with Tim Rice. I know
he's
this is slightly off
beast.
He is brilliant. He's Sir Tim Rice. He is the only triple Oscar winner I know.
Really?
I know quite a few double Oscar winners, some solo Oscar winners. He's got three Oscars. He's a genius lyricist. He's also a delightful human being. And we play word games together. And we were recently playing a fun game in which we were name dropping, really. And the idea of the game was unlikely couples. Real people you'd introduce to one another that seemed an unlikely couple. And I told him how at a party not long ago I'd introduced the British comedian Jim Davidson to the distinguished novelist Margaret Drabble.
Mm-hmm.
And how they'd got on famously, this unlikely couple, because neither knew who the other was. And I said to him, Tim, can you beat that? And Tim said, I think I can. And he told me that at the 1970 premiere of Jesus Christ Superstar, Tim Rice told me this, he wrote the lyrics, Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote the music, at the 1970 Paris premiere of Jesus Christ Superstar, Tim Rice introduced Salvador Dali to Frankie Howard.
Oh, that's superb.
Oh, yes, no, Mrs. No, isn't it a marvellous idea?
That is superb.
That is a funny idea, isn't it? Well, we're going to have fun with words. Something does rhyme with purple. Remind us what it is.
Yes, that is the old dialect word herple, admittedly not on the tongue every day, but to herple, spelt with an I, is to limp, to walk with a limp.
Well, we're going to stride into the world of word games now, knowing that nothing rhymes with orange or silver, something rhymes with purple. Let's play word games. I was brought up on word games, and this is really what I wanted to ask you about your grandparents. My father was born as long ago as 1910.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, was before the age of radio, before television, before the movies had talkies, when families literally made their own entertainment. And my father was brought up in a world where you know, they would stand around the piano in the parlour singing songs. And what did they do of an evening? They played word games with one another, because what else was there to do?
Yeah.
Even the crossword puzzle wasn't invented until the time of the First World War. So when my father was born, you had to make your own entertainment. And so I was brought up on word games. When were your grandparents born?
Gosh.
When were your parents born? Can you remember when your father was born?
Yeah, well, my parents were born in the 40s, and I wouldn't say they were huge lovers of word games, but they were great lovers of board games. So not so much Scrabble, and I'll come to Scrabble later, but we loved, you know, all the traditional board games, Monopoly, Snakes and Ladders, etc. So many, many happy hours listening to Peter and the Wolf, Prokofiev in the background playing word games. Also, just to come back to your Nothing Rhymes with Silver.
Yes.
This is relevant. Something does rhyme with silver. Oh. We could have called our podcast that. It's Milver.
Yes.
It's spelled silver with an M. And it's a person with whom one shares a strong interest in a particular topic, especially that of wordplay. So there you go.
Wonderful. So we're a couple of Milvers.
We are. Milver Mavens.
We're Milver Mavens. And if you stay with us, you'll find that in each of the podcasts, we get a trio of words from Susie that you may not be familiar with and that maybe you would want to slip into your vocabulary because they're just brilliant and she is brilliant. Why don't we play a word game together? One of the ones we played that I got from my maternal grandmother, my Granny Addison, she taught me a word game called Donkey. Do you know this game?
No.
What happens is this. The idea of the game is it's a spelling game and we build a word together, but you mustn't end the word. You lose a life if you end the word.
How many lives do we have?
You have D-O-N-K-E-Y, but we can do the short version, which is S, A-double-S. So we've got three lives.
Can I just say, disclaimer, for someone who has spent 27 years playing a word game in the afternoons, I am terrible at most of the others. I have avoided Scrabble all my life because people assume I will be superlative at it. I'm not. And of course I'm not because I don't play it. So it's,
we will have a whole podcast about Scrabble because, as you know, I'm the founder of the National Scrabble Championships and I think I'm the president of the British Association of Scrabble Players.
Okay.
So you I shall put you right.
Well,
there may have been a palace putsch, a coup, between
in your absence,
the making of this podcast and its being disseminated around the world. So, Donkey is a word game that people can play. You can play it, as it were, on the tube, going in. If your podcast is broken down, you actually got to communicate with somebody. You can play it with strangers. You can play it with your kids. It's intergenerational. It's a game to play in the car. It's a spelling game.
And essentially, you will know the words, which are pitfalls, which have sort of common traps, I would imagine.
If you've played it a few times, maybe. But maybe not. You've got, you know, the whole Oxford English Dictionary rattling around
in
your head.
Yes,
you have.
I'm going to cheat.
So, no, don't cheat.
Okay.
The idea is, three-letter words don't count. You mustn't be the person who ends a word. And you've got to be thinking of a real word at the time. Okay, here we are, the Milver Mavens.
Mm-hmm.
Giving it a go with the game Donkey.
Okay.
I'm going to begin. D.
A.
U.
G.
H.
T.
E.
R.
Daughter!
Oh, no.
You're
you know
out. Boom,
going.
Boom, you've lost a life. You're
You know where I was going. I was going with the advert.
Nah, oh. She's lost. You mustn't end the word. Oh, this is more fun than I realised.
I had nowhere to go with that.
You had nowhere to go. I didn't think you did have anywhere to go.
I don't think so, no.
You start the next game.
Right. You have to think about the number of letters, don't you? So you can
look,
put it.
There, all right, how many words are there in the dictionary?
Thousands. Hundreds.
Hundreds of thousands. Hundreds of thousands. Perhaps half a million. M. O.
O. T.
T.
L.
Is there no double? There's no M-O-T-T as a word.
Don't think so.
Good.
Good job, I've got this.
Okay.
Well, mind you, in the historical dictionary, anything is possible. No, I don't think so. Good. You're right there.
M-O-T. Have I said, what did you say?
I said
you said M-O-T-T. I've said T.
L.
Oh, my goodness. I.
Have you got a word in mind here?
Mottling.
Ooh.
You challenged me. Therefore, okay. If there is a word, mottling, you lose.
Of course there is, because we're allowed verb inflections, aren't we? So that's from mottle.
Yeah, as in something model skin. So you are
right.
Now an AS. Oh, I'm about to win this, because if I win, if
no,
you lose three lives.
I've got N now. Haven't I? Did you have L or I? This is going really well.
I'm sorry. It's over.
Why?
Because you challenged me.
You
challenged
me
and it was a false challenge.
Grief.
You failed.
All right. My lives. I'm on O already. Right now, I'm moving on to N now.
We're playing S. So I'm going to go three rounds with this. You're A-S. And you've got one more life, all right?
All right.
Start again.
P.
N.
E.
U.
M.
A.
T.
I.
Oh. No, I just
come
I want to do something clever here.
You, Matt.
I know where you're going. N.
Challenge you.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I told you I was rubbish at
rogues.
She
couldn't accept the defeat with pneumatic.
Well, no, I can. I was going to do pneumothorax, you see, but it was my turn.
What would pneumothorax have given you? That's interesting. What if it's there?
Yeah. Sadly, I don't think there is. No, there isn't.
What did you think pneumothorax was?
In terms of what it means?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's an anatomical term, isn't it? Which I'm now furiously looking up.
So, pneumatic.
Pneumatic,
is the word
I was
thinking
the presence
of
air or gas in the pleural cavity. That's where I was going with that one.
But it wouldn't fit with the letters, is that right?
Well, it wouldn't, know because you...
I forced you down the wrong path. So, you see, that's the idea
of
the game.
It's very clever.
It's quite a fun game.
And I'm terrible at it.
No, you're not terrible at it. I've been playing it for 60 or more years.
Yes.
You, frankly...
But you actually have to calculate word length before you start, don't you?
But not before you start, because it could go in any...
I suppose that's true.
When you get to about letter 4 or 5 is when you start playing. Oh... That's Donkey Done and Dusted. Before we play my next game, my most favourite game, the game that could change your life, let's have a quick break.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Hello, it's me, Jamie Lang, and I've got a new podcast, and this time there are no gimmicks. It's just great company. Because the thing is, I realize the reason I love podcasts so much is because they're a great way to connect with people.
Hello, I'm Youngblood.
Joe Brand.
I'm Paloma Faith.
Jay Blades.
Elizabeth Day.
Zara Larson. Casper
Lee. And I'm Great Company.
Great Company.
Great Company.
Great Company.
Apparently.
It's Great Company with me, Jamie Lang. Coming Wednesday, the 27th of March.
Let's do another one here. This one I think you'll find easier. It's called Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to, and this is a very good game. How well do you sleep?
Not brilliantly, if I'm honest.
This is the game for you.
Okay.
Because...
This is the word game.
Do you have difficulty getting to sleep?
No.
Or you wake at 6 a.m. and then can't get back to sleep?
No, I wake about 3 a.m.
And then can't get back to
sleep. Yes.
Getting to sleep's
pre-dawn
okay.
Pre-dawn grief.
What time do you go to bed?
My youngest gets up very early, so I tend to be asleep by 10.
Fine.
It's very boring for our listeners.
No, it isn't. Because
nighttime habits.
No, everybody, forgive me, everybody has sleep issues.
Yeah.
Everybody. You get to bed, do you wear socks?
No.
Oh, you were sleeping
with
socks.
I didn't wear anything in bed. Okay.
But I wasn't
socks.
Asking about
so socks
anything.
Socks help you sleep.
Yes. Mm. Socks, you've cozy toes. Cozy toes is what you need. And you sleep on your side or on your back?
Side.
Yep, that's okay. So you sleep on your side, and then getting to sleep is relatively easy at 10. Yes, you go fairly deep. And then you wake at 3.
Welcome to the sleep podcast.
No.
Yes.
No, you wake at 3.
I wake at about 3.
And then you go to the loo, and then you come back to bed and lie there wide awake.
I just lie there.
And what are you worrying about?
Oh, you know, everything gets magnified. Actually, genuinely, there's not one consistent thing. There's a great word for this, which also can be used for early morning grumpiness, and that's matuto lipia, which
matuto.
Is really
matuto.
Matuto meaning morning.
Yeah.
Lipia, L-Y-P-E-A.
L-Y-P-E-A.
And it's grief of the dawn. And I like to apply it to that sort of terrible anxiety that you get when you wake up really early.
Matuto lipia.
Lipia.
Matuto lipia.
Grief of the dawn, yeah.
Matuto. It sounds like also somebody's name. Oh, I knew her once. Matuto lipia. Matutalipia means fear of the dawn.
Yeah, well, it means grief. It's
grief,
melancholy.
Grief, it's melancholy. So you have the middle of the night blues.
Yes.
You're not alone, can I say?
No, I'm sure.
Millions around the world listening to this saying, yeah, we're with Susie Dent, we're with Susie Dent.
So word games can help.
Now, the point is this.
Okay.
What do you do in those circumstances? You want to get to sleep. The stomach is churning. The head is churning. Everything, as you say, is completely exaggerated. You lie as still as you can.
Mm-hmm.
You do two things. You breathe slowly in and out. You then, like pushing clouds out of the way, you push all extraneous sounds out of your head. Everything you push away, you actually physically do it. You push everything away. And then you play Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
Alpha is this little game where you go from A to Z thinking of words that begin and end with the same letter.
Oh.
And you try to get longer and longer words every night. So let's say you were going to begin with
Anaconda.
A. That's Anaconda. That's better than mine. I was going to go with amnesia.
Okay, I like that.
No, but anaconda's an animal, a kind of snake?
Snake, yes.
Amnesia is something you want to forget.
Yes.
So sometimes it's quite fun to play the game using words that are relevant. Amnesia, you want to forget the things you've been worrying
amnesia
about.
Amnesia is the act of forgetting, isn't it?
Yeah, mm. Whereas anaconda, maybe it's that it tells you the kind of nightmares you're having. A snake is coming to eat you. The anaconda. So I'm simply sleeping. Anyway, so then you get to B. A word that begins and ends with B. The longer, the better.
Hmm. I can only think of Baba Ganoush, and that doesn't work anyway.
Doesn't work at all.
No.
Baba Ganoush is not. It's got to end with a B.
Yeah, yeah. Baobab.
Baobab?
Yes. B-A-O. B-A-B.
B-A-O. B-A-B. B-A-O. Baobab. And what does it mean?
Baobab is a tree, also called monkey bread, or the Ethiopian sour gourd.
I like it. And how many letters is that?
Six.
Six. Well, you get 6 points, which is good.
See.
You see, because we can do it competitively.
Okay.
Because this, by the way, if you're not sleeping alone and you've got somebody else lying next to you who's also awake, suffering from matutalipia, because they've got dread, fear, or middle-of-the-night depression, you can keep each other company by playing the game competitively. So, so far, I would be one ahead because I think Anaconda, you might be one ahead. Maybe one letter longer than amnesia. Amnesia is 7 letters long. But with my word, bedaub.
Oh, nice.
It's the same number as you, so 6. So we've each scored 6.
Okay.
Okay. C.
I'd go for the Irish crack.
Crack.
Mm.
C-R-A-K.
No, C-R-A-I-C.
C-R-A-I-C. It's an Irish word meaning...
crack. It's just, the crack.
The crack. It means the
humour. It's the fun. It's the amusement.
It's the atmosphere in the room.
Yeah.
We went to the party. Great crack.
Yeah.
It's a lovely word, isn't it?
Yes.
And is it an Irish word?
It's an Irish word. I famously declared very loudly on Countdown that I love crack. Meaning, of course, that I love that word. But anyway, that's another story. Yes, that's mine, but it's only 5. I'm not sure that's
And is
good.
There a funny accent on the I in crack? Could there be sometimes in Irish?
Yes, there is in the Irish. There's a diacritic above there, but not in English.
Well, you've scored 5 there. I'm going to try and beat you.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
With cyclonic.
You've practiced this.
Yeah, I have practiced cyclonic. This, to be honest. I get 8 points for cyclonic. C-Y-C-L-O-N-I-C. D, what's the longest word you can think of, beginning and ending with D? And you can see when you're lying in bed, this is quite fun to do this because the alphabet is there. You're climbing the stairs and it forces other things, all those traumas, all the, you know, the worries about the mortgage and should you have taken out the second mortgage and the person lying next to you. God, why are they lying next to you? what did we get into? Oh, dear. Can this go on for much longer?
Discombobulated.
Brilliant.
But. There must be longer verbs. You just need a past tense, basically, don't you?
Oh, my goodness. I only had dedicated.
Oh, okay. Well, I might have won this then.
Dedicated, desiccated, discombobulated wins it completely.
Excellent.
Discombobulated. One last word. You have moved into the lead. E is for what? Beginning and ending.
Erudite.
Very good. I've got everyone.
Mm-hmm.
F. F.
Well, that's hard.
F.
I can only think
Not
of
that hard.
Faff.
Oh, what's faff? As in
faffing around.
About. That's a legitimate word. Where does it come from?
Yeah, it's only 4. I don't think we know, actually.
Really? I love it where there are words where the etymology is unknown.
Yeah, so etymology, I'm looking at the OED, as always. Oh, no, they do know, actually. This is lovely. It's from the dialect faff, meaning a puff of wind as the noun or the verb to blow in sudden gusts.
Oh, to faff.
To faff.
So it's a proper word.
So
going
it's
back
to flap idly in the wind, isn't it? To faff about.
And it's been going along for how long, the word?
1570.
How wonderful. The word faff, which sounds so modern, is in fact goes back to the 16th century.
Yeah.
Shakespeare was faffing.
I think faffing about, though,
is more
to
recent.
Fuss or dither is, yes, 1874.
The joy of knowing you, if I may say so, Susie Dent.
Well, this is from the OED.
I know, but you are the conduit of the OED. And I think this other word you introduced me to, which I knew the word bumf, B-U-M-F.
Yes.
The origin of that, because at school we also talk about paper as being bumf.
Okay, I just have to tell listeners the kind of the trajectory that our conversation took. Before we came on air, we were talking, as one does, about arse ropes. Arse ropes being a very, very old word that was used in the Bible, translation of the Bible, which meant the intestines. And I absolutely love it because it's just so direct.
So it's an old
I'm
word
having
for
problems
the intestines.
With yes, arse ropes.
My arse ropes.
I'm having problems with my
arse ropes are letting me down.
Yes.
Oh, my arse ropes are terribly knotted.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Anyway, so from arse ropes, we then went to arse wisp, which used to be a sort of synonym, I guess, or a slang for loo roll.
Or
toilet paper.
Or lavatory paper, whatever.
Toilet paper,
yeah.
Exactly. Arse wisp.
Or bathroom stationery, as I believe in refined circles in the 1950s it was called. Oh, have
bathroom
you run out? Yes, have you not heard that? Oh, we've run out of bathroom stationery. Anyway, you call whereas in your house they were saying, oh, the arse wisps.
The arse wisps. Yeah. We weren't actually saying that. But anyway,
play
so
some more Peter and the Wolf,
wisps,
would you? I'm looking for the arse wisps.
Anyway, let me finish. So from arse wisp we came to bum fodder. And bum fodder was, particularly in the army, that was slang for toilet paper.
Right.
And from bum fodder, we get bumf, i.e. completely inconsequential bits of information.
This is why the world is turning to something rhymes with purple. I mean, no, it is, because where else would you discover that? You really wouldn't.
Okay,
so we've got down to F, the word beginning and ending in F. You're beginning to doze off now.
No, I said faff. Am I beginning to
faff
doze
is
off?
Good, no.
Okay.
You're supposed to, because it's getting you to sleep. My word is a bit longer, fluff.
Oh, nice.
Which
I hope someone's
like.
Keeping tally here.
Yeah, I'm keeping tally, and you are, we're neck and neck.
Oh.
G, next.
G. Oh, I keep coming up with the short words.
You can share them.
Well, it would be glug, but...
oh, I like that. I'm graduating to something better.
Are you?
Graduating.
Oh, of course.
Which is...
Verbs.
That's 10 letters.
Yes, okay. Can I change my mind?
Yep.
Guzzling, then.
I like guzzling. That's very good. Would gas guzzling be allowed as one, or has it got a hyphen in it?
Don't think so. I think for that
longer,
I need to look
it?
In a modern dictionary, actually. Do you want me to do that now?
Nah, because it's bound to have a hyphen, isn't
I think it would.
H, beginning and ending in H.
Huzzah!
Huzzah. That's an exclamation.
Hyphening gas guzzler. Huzzah, yes.
And,
hurrah,
what,
huzzah.
And what does that date from?
That is, I love this definition in the Oxford English Dictionary. Huzzah, to shout, huzzah.
Huzzah!
It's from 1683. They are carousing and huzzahing like mad devils with their roaring companions.
Well, I've got a hunch you're right.
Okay.
Hunch,
nice.
Get it? H-U-N-C-H, but it's shorter than yours. Mine is only 5 letters, whereas huzzah, I think, is 6.
Okay, should we stop there? Bit worried about I.
You may have to stop there because can you think of one for I? Because I can't. And when I play this game...
What's the plural of ibis?
I'm almost always asleep before I get to the letter I.
Oh, nice. I love that. Leave that one with me. Might try and come back to
That's okay. And I can't come up with J either.
I'd love to say zhuzh, because no one ever knows how to spell
and
zhuzh.
How
I'm
do you
asked
spell
about
zhuzh?
That all the time. Well, the dictionary will give you Z-H-U-S-H, but I don't think it does it. I
so
think
you,
that does the trick.
That's, you can have that little debate. Now, one of the problems with getting to I and J, when you're is if you get to take it too seriously, you get your stomach begins to churn, you think, my goodness, have I got these? So I then I know that there's no an I and J in my book, so I go straight on to K, and I have kayak, and then I do L, I have longitudinal, and I can do
nice.
I can do them for lots, right the way down to Q, which there may well be a Q word, but I don't know it. Okay, so...
Can I like that game.
Can you think of anything with Q?
Not off the top of my hand.
No. I can't think. I've got R, regulator for R, succinctness for S, tournament for T, nothing for U, nothing for V, window, nothing for X, yellowy for Y. And the joy is the last letter, and this by then you are asleep, Z. Z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-z-
here we go. I've got something for you. Sorry if I sound distracted. I love this. Have you heard the word ululate?
Ululate, yes.
Or ululate, yes.
Yes. And that's making a sound, isn't it? Ululating.
It is.
But how does it end in you?
Well, it doesn't, but the actual noun from it, ululu, is a wailing cry or a wail of lamentation.
A ululu, a ululu.
Ululu. It says ululu, ululu, ulalu, ululu, or ulalululu.
You do that so charmingly.
I know, that's my pronunciation guides. I think I've got.
I bet you, when you start playing this, I've solved your problem. I've solved Susie Dent's insomnia.
Now.
Well, that's solving a problem as well.
Well, but that's not going to help me go to sleep,
I think you will find playing this game in bed, going from A to Z, words that begin and end with the same letter, is fun. It's educational. We didn't know ululu before now.
No.
And we've got ziz as well. We can work out the spelling of zhuzh. We learn a lot.
Yes.
So don't fall asleep immediately. Just remember that game for late tonight when you are suffering from say it once more.
Matutolipia.
Good. I love word games. And I did a book with my daughter and grandson called The Lost Art of Having Fun.
Oh.
And we put in it dozens and dozens and dozens of word games. And they're fun to play with the family. And I think they're particularly good for people who suffer from insomnia. The other one I love doing, and I'm just going to give you one little test on that, is I love playing anagrams.
Ah.
And I just take a word and you have to rearrange the letters. Give me a country. I'm going to give you the word regalia. And you've got to give me a country made from the letters in regalia.
Algeria.
Well done. That didn't take you long, did it? You're so clever. What about Englander? What would that give you?
Englander.
Englander. Rearrange it to give me a country.
Something land. Greenland.
Greenland. That's very good, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah.
So I've given you two of those. Give me three of your words. What are your trio for today?
Okay. Well, I'm going to start with the word giggle mug. Actually, if you don't mind me saying, Giles, I think you might be a bit of a giggle mug.
What's a giggle mug?
A giggle mug is somebody who is forever smiling,
ah,
but there's a catch.
Ooh.
So this is where I apologise in advance. But a giggle mug is somebody who has that smile on their face all the time and actually is really annoying.
Oh,
I'm not saying no. I'm not saying you're really annoying, but you know when you're not actually feeling it, and then you bump into somebody who's just permanently cheerful, you're just like, oh, you're such a giggle mug. Anyway,
I
just love that word.
People
dread coming
round to my house because they think I'm going to be wearing a party hat and inviting them to play party games.
It's great. Your glass is always helpful.
Yeah.
I like that one. So that's a giggle mug for anybody who, as I say, is constantly chirpy and actually might send you in the other direction. So apologies for that.
Or might have a broken heart. You know the famous story about
the giggle mug.
You know, about the clown Grimaldi.
I know. I know the clown.
Joseph Grimaldi was a great English clown and famous in pantomime, early pantomime, around the 1800s. And he was probably the most famous entertainer in Britain in the day. And it was hilarious. Filled the Drury Lane Theatre. Thousands of people came to see him and laugh at him. But unfortunately, he suffered himself from depression. And famously, he went to see a doctor who he'd never seen him, he recommended a doctor, and he went to see this doctor and said, hello, I'm really unhappy, I'm suffering from depression, and went through all his problems. And the doctor said, right, really, I don't know how I can help you. I mean, you know, how to cheer you up. I suppose I would recommend you go and see the great Grimaldi. And he said, I am Grimaldi.
How wonderful.
Yeah. So there we are. So there may be reasons we giggle mugs are the way we are.
Yes.
Or it also may be that we're just generally happy, because what are we
going
to be unhappy
about?
Well, I think that's
lovely. Yeah. I think that is lovely. And I'm just being a grumptious about it all. Right. Okay. So I was just wondering whether to sideswerve my planned second word and give you coulrophobia, which is a phobia of clowns, because I think
that's
good.
Have it. What's it. How do you spell that?
It's C-O-U-L-R-O.
L-R-O.
Phobia.
Coulrophobia. What's the origin of this?
Well, I think because the Greeks didn't have clowns as such, I think it comes from the Greek for just a sort of entertainer, possibly, you know, sort of trapeze artist, that kind of thing.
People have a real terror of clowns.
Johnny Depp famously has real.
Really?
Yeah, and I did too. I hated them when I was little.
And these are the clowns in makeup, as it were.
These are the ones with the kind of evil smiles, I find, who make lots of noise.
And who are wearing clown makeup, face and red nose and sort of strange eyes. Yeah. The funny costumes, the
Stephen
huge
King.
Feet.
You don't have to think about Stephen King to know that they're utterly terrifying. Coulrophobia. Okay, so that's my last minute.
And also, they don't make you laugh. When I was a child, people listened on the radio to something called The Goons. Mm. I listened week in, week out. Didn't laugh once.
No, it's kind of slapstick though. Don't you think it's verbal slapstick? I'm not really into slapstick, I think.
It just did not make me laugh. Mm. Anyway.
Do you know slapstick comes from the fact that clowns actually did slap a stick on their thighs in order to make a sort of noise?
I think I did know that.
Yeah, there you go.
And also, I was taught by an elderly actress, because I used to be an actor many, many years ago. Not very successful, as you know. I've told you the story of the first time I played Hamlet. I've told you this, haven't I?
I don't think so.
Is this
a true story?
It's a true story. It was a disaster. It was a real disaster.
What happened?
I mean, no.
How old were you?
I was young. Too young, clearly. Okay. But anyway, I played Hamlet. The audience didn't like it. They actually threw eggs at me. Yeah, I mean, they threw eggs at me.
There's a pun coming up here.
Yes, you're right. Went on as Hamlet, came off as omelette. Boom, boom.
So gullible. Right.
Anyway, no, the point is, this elderly actress said to me, speaking of slapsticks, that what you need to do if you're an actor is you begin the applause in the wings before you come on. So you begin the applause yourself, you clap yourself on, people join in. If people in the audience clap, on you come. Okay.
All right.
I love that. Coulrophobia.
And my last one, little origin for you here. I think of myself as being a slight anomaly, really. I don't know whether that means I'm geeky or nerdy or whatever, but just slightly different. And I'm a bit of a maverick. And I love the story behind the word maverick because it goes back to the name of Samuel Augustus Maverick, who was a US politician, but crucially, he was also the owner of a large herd of cattle in Texas. And he left his calves and his cows unbranded. We don't know why. Perhaps he just thought it was cruel. Perhaps he just couldn't be bothered. But the result was that his cows would wander around into neighbouring fields and nobody knew who they belonged to because he refused to brand them. And so all the neighbouring farmers called him a maverick, really. And he was indeed a maverick by name, but he was also one by nature. And that's how we got maverick in the current sense.
One day on our Something Rhymes with Purple podcast, we are going to dedicate a whole podcast to people like that. What are they called?
Mavericks?
Who give their name to the language.
Oh, eponyms.
Eponyms.
Yes.
People are eponyms, like boycott.
Nicotine.
Like, nicotine. Is that named after a person?
Jean Nico, yeah.
There we are.
Yeah.
Wellington, as in the boot.
Yes, sandwich. On and on.
So many. And in fact, we're talking about Joe Grimaldi, mm-hmm. Clown Joey. People often refer to a clown as a Joey.
Oh, do they? I don't know that.
Oh, I think they do.
Oh, they were kangaroos.
But why are they called Joeys?
Because of Joey the kangaroo, of course.
Really?
Yeah, famous kangaroo.
No, you're joking.
No, I am.
But Jumbo, Jumbo does come from Jumbo the elephant.
Jumbo Dumbo. Just Jumbo the elephant.
The elephant.
Yes, before Disney.
The word Jumbo comes from Jumbo the elephant, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Absolutely.
Poor thing, poor creature. Feel sorry for him. Anyway.
When I next see you for our next podcast, say Jumbo to me and I'll tell you something interesting about your name, my name, and anybody's name that has just five letters in it.
Okay.
We're leaving you on a cliffhanger.
All right. My name's got four, by the way.
No, S-U-S-I-E.
Oh, I see. Got you.
Susie. Jumbo.
I think I need some
Giles.
Coffee. Giles,
You need some coffee. You need less coffee, more sleep.
Less Matuta Lipia.
More playing of Donkey by Night.
Yes.
This is us. If you've enjoyed this, please, recommend us to a friend or give us a nice review. If you haven't, well, sleep well and just forget it ever happened. Amnesia is a word that begins and ends with A. Something Rhymes with Purple is a Something Else production. It was produced by Paul Smith with additional production from Russell Finch, Steve Ackerman, and Josh Gibbs.